He is risen. And we celebrate that today. See, Easter weekend is all about hope emerging from death. Jesus' resurrection is a fact of history. And when this truth sinks in, when we embrace it, we have a confident hope for anything that life will throw us. Jesus' resurrection is the biggest event in all of history, but it's part of a bigger story. As Pastor David said earlier today, without Good Friday, there would be no Easter. Without the cross, there would be no resurrection. The story of all that matters in history can be summarized in this weekend. But to do that, we've got to go way back to the beginning. You see, the worst disaster to hit mankind happened way back in the Garden of Eden. God had put humanity, Adam and Eve, there, paradise. You could almost say it was heaven on earth. And they were told they could do anything they wanted, but there was one tree they couldn't partake of. But the serpent said, "Isn't that mean of God to withhold that one thing from you? Why don't you take and eat of that which is forbidden?" And Adam and Eve listened to the wrong voice, and they took it, and they ate. And in an instant, everything changed. Sin entered into the world, and the curse took effect on everything and anything. Mankind's relationship with God was severed. Dysfunction, suffering, sickness became the new norm, and death became our destination. We are unable to fix this mess on our own. And Lord knows we try as hard as we can. We think, well, I can be good, I can do good deeds, I can give money to the poor, I can do whatever, but we can't fix it. You see, God's justice demands death for sin. The scripture says, the soul who sins shall die. And none of us can defeat death by our own power or our own will. Sin costs a life. And in order to reverse the curse and to reconcile mankind back to himself, God had a plan. And it would bring hope from death. You see, right after Adam and Eve sinned, right after the curse took effect on everything, they realized that they were naked and they were exposed and they were ashamed. They needed covering. And in their moment of need, the Bible says the Lord God made for Adam and Eve and for his wife garments of skins and he clothed them. Their nakedness and their shame had to be covered, and something had to die for it. It's a picture God's giving us. Later on in the Bible, God institutes a whole system of sacrifices for sin. And I think because that's Old Testament and we don't think of it as often, we don't grasp the seriousness of it. But God is giving us a message in all of this. In the book of Leviticus, sacrifices were required for each of our sins. Let that sink in. I don't mean this flippantly, but I would require a whole flock. Every sin, go to God with a sacrifice. That's pretty crushing. We get illumination on this in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 10, where it says, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." So why these sacrifices of animals when they could never take away sins? Because God has a plan which he was going to unroll over time. See, these sacrifices were never good enough to save human beings. They were intended to be pictures of the ultimate sacrifice. And someone who grasped this was the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist first saw Jesus, this is what he said. He saw Jesus coming towards him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Everything clicked. These pictures, these sacrifices that priests had done daily over the centuries. Everything falls into place with Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. A few years later, Jesus went to the cross. And as he died, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. So what does it mean? And what was Jesus saying when he said, "It is finished"? It was much more than he was dying. He was saying the mission is accomplished. I have been the perfect sacrifice that every single human being desperately needs. It's finished. Jesus has done everything that needed to be done so that we could be made right with God. It's finished. Jesus didn't have to die so that we could add our good works to his death. Jesus died in our place, and that's all we need. That passage in Hebrews continues in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 11, which I read earlier, says, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for that time until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." Did you get that? Jesus is saying here, all those sacrifices that you guys did in the past, they were just pictures, little pictures pointing to me. They were reminders that your sin is serious and that you can't take care of your sin by yourself. But that God has offered the perfect sacrifice, Jesus. That is what we remember when we remember the cross. For by a single offering, he is perfected for all time. It is enough. Those who are being sanctified. What it's saying here is all who believe in Jesus, all who receive his free gift of salvation, believe that Jesus died in our place, and say, "I'm trusting in that and that alone for my right standing with God." He has perfected us for all time. But he also recognizes that while we're on this earth, we're still going to mess up. We're being made holy at the same time. But what Jesus has done for us is enough. And when he was on the cross, he could say, "It is finished. Mission accomplished. The sacrifice has been made." Jesus' death in our place was God's plan to reverse the curse that happened way back in the garden. In reversing the curse, we have hope that springs out of death. On Friday, Jesus defeated sin at the cross, and death would ultimately fall on Sunday. Through his death, Jesus offers forgiveness, life, and hope. The message of Easter is hope from death. When the Bible talks about hope, it's not a, "Oh, I wish," I kind of, "Oh, boy, it'd be really nice if this played out." It's a confident assurance that God has kept his promise and given us the Savior we so desperately need. No matter how we may have made a mess of things, there is always hope, because Jesus has died in our place and he offers life to us. In a few minutes, we're going to remember Jesus' death in our place as we take communion together. And to prepare our hearts for that, we're going to have our choir come forward. Think of me and remember. And before we take the communion elements, I'd encourage you to reflect as our choir sings. Remember all that Jesus has done for us. Communion is intended for those who know Jesus as Savior. We understand that his death is in our place. And that just as the sacrifices in the Old Testament were pictures of the ultimate sacrifice, communion is a picture of what Jesus did on the cross. The bread is a picture of his body that was broken for us. The juice is a picture of his blood was shed for us that we might receive the forgiveness of sins. Without Friday, Sunday wouldn't have happened. Without the cross, there would be no resurrection. And so that's why we want to look at the big picture together. As our choir sings, please reflect on Jesus' death on our behalf and all that it means, and then we'll take communion together as a church family.